He's either been lying or get credit. But I really appreciate them. Thank you for being here. And they currently live in Kansas. And I got tickled. River didn't. He's from Alaska, Kansas, Michigan, and then we talked to a couple that we thought would be here this morning that are from Wyoming. So we're going to have a lot of area to cover. And, but we thank you all for being here. May God bless you for being here. We are starting a new series this morning. It's called The Hard Sayings of Jesus. There's a lot of things that we read in the Bible, and Jesus says stuff, and you have to think, what? What in the world did he mean by that? Like, you know, dogs return to the vomit. That's in there. Well, what did he mean by that? That's not a very pleasant thing, is it, Ronnie? But it happened, you know, dogs do. And there's just a lot of things that are hard sayings that Jesus talks about. You know, one is when he holds says, whose picture is on this coin? And what did all that mean? But that's not what we're going to talk about this morning. Our first one, we're going to talk about what is the cost? The cost of discipleship. What is the cost? Before we go any further, Andy, would you lead us in prayer?
Many Christians, and the sad thing is,
we have problems with our changing and stuff. Many Christians don't even refuse to change their lifestyle before Christian and after Christian. Many Christians refuse to even change their attitudes. If they were mean and surly before they were Christian, a lot of times they're mean and surly even after they become a Christian. Many Christians don't even change their priorities. Many Christians even refuse to change their actions. And what they're doing. What does it really cost to follow Jesus? We're going to say that over and over and over again. I want you to constantly think about that. On the internet, I was thinking about things. I came across this illustration. I thought this was so true in light of us as Christians, but it's a tongue-in-cheek thing, but these are real comments that were put in the suggestion box at the Bridger Wilderness area. These are real things. And I looked at it, I've never been there, but I did look at the pictures, and it's just a beautiful setting. I don't know if anybody's ever been there, but it's just a gorgeous, beautiful, but you have to go somewhere to see it. You have to get out and move to get it. But here are some things that were found in the suggestion box. Remember, this is a wilderness park. Number one, your trails need to be reconstructed. Please avoid building trails that go up hill. Number two, there are too many bugs, leeches, spiders, and spider webs. Please spray the wilderness to get rid of all these pests. Number three, please pave the trails. A chairlift needs to be put in place so that we can get to the wonderful views without having to hike them. Number four, the coyotes made too much noise last night and kept me awake. Please eradicate this annoying thing. Number five, a small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there any way that I can get reimbursed? Just call me. Number six, escalators would be nice to help us get up these old steep sections. Listen to one of my favorites. Number seven, a McDonald's would be nice to have at the trailhead. And then the last one was, there's just too many rocks. We as Christians, actually, we a lot of times understand the beauty of serving Jesus. We have so many excuses and complaints. And we don't stop and think about, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, yes, that is the number one thing, yes, that will give us life eternal with Him, yes. But once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there does become a cost. If you want to serve Him, and if you want to do what He wants you to do, there is a cost. There's a difference between the knowledge of Jesus and knowing Jesus. There's a lot of people that know Jesus in their head, but there's not as many of them that know Him in their heart. We can know about Him, but do you know Him? Know Him on a personal level. Sadly, sometimes it's really not the Christian's fault, because it seems like in our life it's kind of being revived again. We completely took discipleship and threw it out the window. We don't discipleship anymore. Sometimes we preach a watered-down Christianity. Sometimes we just pretend there's nothing more to it than you accept Christ. You don't have to do anything else. Just stay right here and He doesn't require anything else. He doesn't require anything else to keep your salvation or to be saved, but He requires things that He wants us to do. And I think you look into your Bible, and when Jesus turned to the 70, or to the crowd, and he told them what it would cost. 70 of them walked away because the cost was too high. And let's look at our verse of Scripture. Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 25. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." So Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are unable to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying the person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able, with his 10,000 men, to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not, he will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the straw nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whosoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, it's always easy to, you can always open the door and wonder, you say, well, Jesus said, and you can always stand on that. It will cost you everything to follow. Many of us want to be followers, not disciples. Many of us rather be bystanders than get in there. I could be the world's greatest quarterback, Ronnie, that you'll ever meet. I can sit in my chair and watch every football game and tell them exactly what they should do and what they shouldn't do. Put the uniform on and get me out there, I'll run like a scared rat. But I know everything when I'm not involved in it. And I'm not willing to pay the cost to go in there and put that uniform on and go up against those 300-400 pound men. I'm just not doing it. But there's a cost. We as Christians need to be bystanders. We need to be a little more than followers. We need to seek to be disciples. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother, wife, children, brother and sisters, yea, even his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. Now, if that's not a hard saying to Jesus, there are none. He's talking about if you're going to truly follow him, you have to hate everybody around you. Well, that's not what he meant. What he means is that you love him so much that you give him everything that you are, that everything that you can be, everything that you should be, you just give him because you love him so much that in comparison, everything else will look like things. You think about that kind of love that we would give Jesus. He's not telling you to really hate him because he is love. Why would he tell us to really hate if he talks about love? He's just talking about the comparison of how much you love him that it would look like we would hate those others in our life. Love him with all that we are. He goes on and he says, you need to bear the cross. You think about bearing his cross. Bearing love, bearing the burden unconditionally. You know, Jesus, when he's carrying his cross, he's not thinking, well, is so-and-so worth it? Is so-and-so worth it? He didn't think about it. He carried that cross because he knew that his shed blood was going to save the world. And he was able to carry that burden unconditionally through love. The burden to give, even though you are old, is part of that cross. He knew exactly what it was. He knew what it meant to carry that cross. He knew what it meant to be that added burden. He knew what it meant. And he knew all the way up to when they nailed him to the cross. He knew it. He felt it. He experienced it. The Romans made it very clear what the cost is. To bear your cross can be seen as an unwavering commitment to the will of God. Is that not what Jesus did? It was an unwavering commitment. Father, not my will, but your will be done. An unwavering commitment. Jesus didn't stop in the middle of it and say, well, no, God, I don't think I can go any further with this. I've had enough. You know, I paid my dues. It's time to just end this. Unwavering commitment. And we're challenged to have that unwavering commitment to the will of God, too. The very cross could be that you accept fully the consequences of discipleship and shame, loneliness, hostility, that if you truly begin to try to follow Jesus, you're going to face that. People are going to be hostile to you. People are going to ridicule you. People are going to turn away from you. People are going to defriend you. People are not going to accept you because you're willing to give it all to Jesus. You're willing to serve and do what He wants you to do. The very cross can be given all that you are, as we said earlier, and all that you will be to God. If you're willing to dig deep, you can't be a disciple unless we give it all. So you have to stop just for a moment and ask yourself, where does my allegiance lie? Where your heart is, your allegiance is not far behind. Where I place my heart, my allegiance comes right behind me. Following Jesus is not a fad. It's not a, yes, I'll do it today, not tomorrow. It's something that we have to do. It's a choice that we deliberately make to follow Jesus. It's something we deliberately bear His cross and follow after Him. Even His disciples really had no idea. But bearing His cross, and they had to carry their own crosses in different ways. But they did experience that in different ways, but they did carry their cross. The second thing is, let's count the cost. Think of it. Let's count the cost. Finish what you started. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you said, Lord, I want Him to be my Lord and Savior. I want You to be my King. I want You to be everything. And you start that way, but over time it begins to fade a little bit. We need to finish what we started. You have a mission, you have a reason, you have a purpose, you have a place to serve, and do what He's asking you to do. You can go to God at any time and say, all right, God, this is when I was saved. Right now I want to just, let's just start fresh right from here and you go on. And start over if you have to. One of the things that always, and I was just curious, Karen calls me, I'm just nosy about everything. I know what's going on in the neighborhood, Miss Gail, I can tell you anything. Me and the dog, me and the poodle know everything that's going on in the neighborhood. And if you ever watched several of my pictures, that little doodle just watching the neighbors. But, and this is one thing that's always amazing. I don't know if you recall the castle that's built between Versailles and Lexington. I can remember when that thing started to be built. You know, he had great plans of building that castle, but at some point in time, he either ran out of interest or ran out of money. Because it never got finished until here a few years ago. And now they've made it into like a hotel. But I used to wonder when we go by there thinking, I don't need to go in there and find out what's wrong or what happened. I was just that nosy. I wanted to know why he gave up. And if you're not told the truth, you begin to let your imagination answer those questions for you. But he didn't count the cost. He didn't count the cost. And that castle just sat there for years, empty, and no one used it for anything. You think about it, you add up the cost. It would cost us our heart. It would cost us our soul. It would cost us our mind. It would cost us our time. And it may even cost us our body when you count the cost. It says he laid the foundation and was not able to finish it. And then behold, it began to mock. is we as Christians, we don't start. But we're not finishing what God has asked us to do. We have great intentions. You know, there's a lot of great intentions that we have, that we want to do this, we want to start this. I can't tell you how many instruments I started and I had good intentions that I was going to learn. And I've got a cemetery full of instruments that I'm never going to use again. God bless my grandchildren because I give them to them to pass them along. But you think about we have good intentions. This commercial I came across in Iowa, and I love this commercial. And you may have seen it too. There's a man who's sitting in a chair at a tattoo parlor. Oh, he's there, and his arms just rolled up, and the tattooist is working on him. He's just expressing his love for Dawn. Oh, he just loves Dawn so much, and he's getting a tattoo just to express how much he loves her. Halfway through the tattooing, he asked the guy, he said, "What will it cost?" And he said, "Well, it'd be $50. He said, "Okay." He said, "All I have is $41. Then the scene cuts to the cup with 10,000 men, and he knows that the enemy has 20,000 men. That just doesn't make good sense. And if you don't sit down and figure out just how much it's going to cost, there's a lot of lives that are going to be wasted. Because I didn't bother to count the cost." So ask yourself, am I a sitter, a quitter, a follower, or a disciple? Which one are we? What is holding us back? Fear? No experience? Apathy? Time? Give it all to Jesus. It's not easy, but it's required. So I'm going to challenge you in a way that you can give it all to Jesus. You're thinking, all right, we need to give her all. It's going to cost this. How do I do that? How do I do that? I want you to listen, and if you want to, we'll repeat it. And if you want to give it all to Him, this is how we're going to do it. Number one. God, I will give you all my worldly goods, houses, car, and everything else. If you believe that, if you want to give it all to God, let's start right there. And say it with God, I give you all my worldly goods, house, car, and everything else. Number two. God, I give you my children. I give you my grandchildren. I give you my great-grandchildren. Number three, God, I give you my spouse. I give you our marriage. I give you all my relationships. Number four, God, I give you my church. Remember, we're giving our all to Jesus. Number five, God, I give you my job. Lastly, God, I give you my heart. I give you my mind. I give you my soul. I give you my all. If you want to give it to Jesus, if you truly want to give it all, that's how you give it all. You have to deliberately make the effort and give it to Jesus. Give it all to Him. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much that we can be together. And Father, help us to give our all to you. Father, if someone is not a Christian, let's say that they would give their heart to you and accept you as their Lord and Savior. Father, as we as Christians, we look at the cost. But help us realize it's something that it's not just a fly-by-night thing. It's a commitment. It's something deliberate that we have to do to give it all to you. May we start with possessions. May we have our family, have our spouses, have all of our relationships, our job, our church. That we give it to you. And that we give our heart and our mind and our soul and our body. We give that to we just pray that we can take that step. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Ms. Gable, we can do that.
Thank you.